This is my favorite calendar Sunday of the year. I mean, I love Easter Sunday, right? Because Easter Sunday transformed the world. But when it comes to the actual calendar, this is my favorite Sunday. You might ask, well, why? Why, Jake? Why is this your favorite Sunday? I'm glad you guys asked. I will. Calm down. It is my favorite Sunday because it's the Sunday in between, right? It's the Sunday in between. We've just finished the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I mean, we still have New Year's, but New Year's is kind of its own thing because it's the new year. And you have this last Sunday in December that's always like this, like, nebulous, like people aren't sure what to do with it. And I love this Sunday because it's the break, right? It's a natural transition point for us as people. You know, as one thing ends and the new year begins and we're trying to figure out what's going on and what we're going to do, and as we reflect on this past year and as we look towards next, we have this moment right here, this Sunday, that it kind of allows everybody to just take a break. It's not quite New Year's. Most of us are done traveling for the holidays. And so with that in mind, the way we structured everything this morning was with that in mind. And so we had a full band, and it was all wonderful and great on Christmas Eve, and we'll have a full band next week, and it's going to be great. But this morning, we wanted to kind of strip everything back. And even how I structured my message, we kind of stripped everything back, and we wanted to create space. We wanted to invite you to rest. Now, here's the thing. Did you know, or did you realize, many of us don't, that rest is a spiritual discipline, right? It is a spiritual discipline. It is something that we are called to practice on a regular, weekly basis. That's why it's called the Sabbath, right? It's a day of rest. All the way back in creation, when God created the heavens and the earth and all of creation, he took 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Rest is very much a spiritual discipline. But it's not one we actively make a part of our lives. We wear busyness around our necks like some kind of award, like some kind of medal, right? And we compare schedules. We compare exhaustion. Right? If somebody's busy or somebody tells you, man, I'm tired, or maybe it's your spouse. Maybe you spouses or you who are married have done this before, where one of you says, man, I'm tired. And you're like, why are you tired? Did you stay home with the kids all day? Did you do this? Did you do this? I was up until this time. My calendar looks like this. This, 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 and this. You don't have any right to be tired. I'm the one that should be tired. I don't know why you're complaining about being tired. Listen, arguing about who is more exhausted, it has to be one of the most asinine things we do as people. It's just ridiculous because we're all exhausted, and we're all exhausted for different reasons, and that's okay. We don't have to justify our exhaustion, but we have to create the spiritual discipline of rest so that our exhaustion doesn't define our lives. And so this morning, what I want to do this morning is going to be a little bit different than what we normally do on a Sunday morning. So if this is your first time, great. You know, just keep in mind, this isn't what we normally do. But I want to give us opportunity to practice the spiritual discipline this morning. And so normally what we do on a Sunday morning is you have your bulletins that on the back side, they have the fill-in blanks, and you have those this morning just like usual. And what we hope you guys to do, whoever's preaching, me, Pastor Justin, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Laurie, or Pastor Brian, whoever's preaching, we give you guys a message, a sermon. We hope you hear from the Lord. We hope you're encouraged, challenged. You go home. You apply it. Maybe you forget about it. That's okay. And then you see your bulletin notes and you remember it. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I'm going to say this and I'm going to apply it. And you move on with your life. But this morning, I want to do a little bit of work right here with you guys when it comes to the spiritual discipline of rest. And so we're all going to take naps. I'm just kidding. But I want to share with you this morning three types of exhales that we do as humans and the promises and things that you can discover about God in the midst of those moments. Right? right? So I've titled the message, Exhale, for obvious reasons. But I want to share with you that you can discover God, who he is, and what he has for you when you make rest a spiritual discipline. All right, so everybody take a deep breath. And let's do this. Your first exhale, if you have your note, if you have your bulletins, if you're taking notes, you can write this in, is the exhale of relief. The exhale of relief. And this exhale usually comes at the end of something, when something finishes. Oftentimes, we give this exhale at the end of a long day of work, maybe a busy season, maybe a long, tumultuous season, maybe a long week. Maybe we've encountered some kind of loss or hard season. We've lost something, we lost someone. And it's the moment, and it's the exhale that kind of looks like this. It's the right? Well, you're kind of done. And what it is it's you taking a moment to acknowledge that you have limitations. And limitations are okay. And it's okay to acknowledge that not all the time, even to yourself, it's okay to acknowledge that you don't have everything all together. And that exhale of relief isn't so much about the pain or our hardship or tension going away. It's about acknowledging, okay, I've got to take a moment. I've got to release something. And so we just take that deep breath and we just go, and sometimes we don't even get that moment until we climb into bed at night, right? And you lay in bed, and it feels so good, and then you just exhale, right? Because your day is done, you're going to get some rest, and you're going to start new the next day. And here's the promise I want you to discover in the moment of those exhales, is that the Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our refuge. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Have you ever felt like that in your life? That the ground beneath your feet is just going to give out? Like you're taking your steps, but you're not sure how much and how long you can keep going. You're not sure what's going to happen. You know that your life is pretty close to the edge. And there's tension and there's anxiety and there's worry and there's all these things that wear you down and keep you going. Where at the end of the day, all you can do is take that exhale and just hope you can get through tomorrow. I want to encourage you, and I want you to know, and I want you to hear that the Lord is your refuge and your safe place. And I love that passage because it says, even if the mountains collapse into the heart of the sea, even if there are catastrophic events, even if the foundations of the world are shaken and the sea rages, he is still a safe place. He is our refuge in those moments. In some of our darkest moments, in some of the hardest moments we can encounter in our lives, when all we can do is find a moment and exhale, God is there. And he is a safe place. And we can rest and be still. Later on in that psalm, Psalm 46:10, the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Stop and know that I am your safe place. Stop and know that I will protect you, that I am your refuge, even if everything else around you crumbles. So I told you that this morning was going to be a little bit different. So this is what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for everybody to close their eyes. Everybody close their eyes. And I want you to think about those things in your life that cause anxiety. sadness, frustration, loneliness, maybe isolation. I want you to think about all those things that kind of weigh you down, that you walk with day in and day out, maybe the things that people don't even know about. Now, I want you to stop thinking about those things, and I want you to take a deep breath in and a long exhale out. Be still and know that I am God. You can open your eyes. The second exhale is the exhale of recovery, right? Relief, then recovery. This is the exhale that comes in the in-between moments, right? You've just finished one thing, you know you're going to start a next, and so you're exhaling to recover. Kind of like when you exercise or when you're doing something that is physically exerting. It kind of gets the blood pumping, gets you breathing hard, you're exerting, you're sweating, you know. Like, exercise is a great way to think about this one, because it's like if you do like CrossFit or you lift weights or you run or something like that, you finish your run, you finish working out, and your heart's beating super fast. What's the first thing you've got to do? You've got to breathe. You've got to slow down your heart rate. You've got to recover. And so it's like at the end of an exercise, you're just going, like you're just, okay, we're in between, we're recovering. Now I got to start slowing down my breathing so I can start slowing down my heart rate so that I can finish one thing and I can be ready to start the next. It's a breath of recovery. You know that there are things that you have to do in your life. And as you finish one thing and you start a next, you've got to recover. Here's the promise that the Lord has for you this morning in those moments of recovery, that the Lord restores us. He restores us. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." You ever felt that way? Weary? Just empty? Like you're running on fumes? Like you're just stretched so thin because our schedules are so busy that it's just go here, go there, do this, do that, and it's just one thing after the next, just continually going, 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 to where there, all of our lives is just based on output. It's just output, output, output. But you know that if there is no input, eventually you're not going to have anything to give out either. And it's in those moments when we have to stop and have that exhale of recovery to practice that spiritual discipline of rest so we can have input from the Lord so that we can have output for others. And the Lord will restore you in those moments, because he does not grow weary. He does not grow faint. We do. We're human. We have limitations. But our spirits don't have to be dry, because he restores us. Okay, you ready for exercise number two? Close your eyes again. This time, what I'd like for you to do is I'm going to reread that passage in Isaiah 40. And as I do, I want you to take three deep breaths in and three deep breaths out as I read it. So just really slow, focused breathing. And I just want you to listen to this promise that the Lord has for you this morning. "Do you not know? not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. As you take those deep breaths, I want to encourage you that weariness was not meant for you. Find rest and be restored. You can open your eyes. The last one, the last exhale for this morning. I came up with like five or six, but I just wanted to focus on these three. Is the exhale of readiness, right? This is my favorite of the three. It's the exhale that comes at a turning moment, at a key pivot moment. It's the moment before, it comes at the moment before we do something fantastic, before we push ourselves maybe to do something that scares us a little bit, before we take a new step, before we go on a new adventure, before we discover something incredible. It's the psych up breath, right? Like if you stay along the lines of like exercise and athletes and stuff, like when you watch the Olympics or something, or you watch, it's football season, so I'll use a field goal kicker, right? They're standing there and they have to make the game winning kick. And they stand there and they get there, they count their steps and they're ready there. What do, right, before they take a step? Because they're preparing themselves. They're refocusing and they're making themselves ready for what they have to do. And I love this because sometimes it scares us, right? What we have to do. Sometimes we don't know what it's going to look like, but we know we have to keep moving forward. We know that where we're at can't be where we're going to stay. We know that things have to look different. And so we're going to move. We're going to take steps. And so we go, okay, all right. And I love this exhale because it's the exhale that says, let's do this. And here's the promise that you can discover about God in those moments. The Lord renews us. The Lord renews us. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, often when I read this passage in Isaiah, I think about the wilderness and the wasteland as just kind of being life in general. Circumstances that, you know, maybe life has been hard, and so it's this promise that God is going to, he's going to show up and he's going to provide me direction, or he's going to make a pathway in life, or maybe he's going to bring relief in my life. But as, and all of those things are true, but as I was preparing this message and as I was reading it, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, he's like, Jake, you are the wilderness. You are the wasteland. And you're like, well, that's positive. But he's like, but you, it's in you that I want to do something new. It's in your life. It's in you I want to make a new path. It's in you where you felt desolate and empty and your spirits felt like a wasteland that I want to bring life and renewal and streams. And if he's saying that to me, he's also saying that to you. That maybe you felt completely spiritually dry, like you felt like your life is just a wasteland. You're empty, you're depleted, all the resources are gone. The promise the Lord has for you this morning is that he will renew you. And he wants to do something new in you. It's not about past accomplishments or past successes, because that's the context of this passage. You know, the prophet Isaiah is speaking on behalf of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, forget the former things. He's not saying forget everything. What he's talking about is the nation of Israel kept looking to their history. They kept looking to past victories. They kept looking to the things that God has done in the past. And God's saying, listen, forget that stuff. I've got something new for you. I want to take you to a new place. I want you to discover new roads. I want you to discover me in a new, fresh way. Where you have felt depleted in your walk with me, I want to bring streams of living water and renewal and life. So it's not that we can't remember those things. It's just we have to understand that we are designed to move forward. And we have to be ready. Because he wants to do those things in your life. He wants to do those things in my life. But we have to take that moment where we go, okay, let's do this. So this is what we're going to do with this one. All right? I want you to consider all of 2019. I want you to consider this past year. I want you to consider all the pain, all the celebration, joy, grief, everything you've lost, everything you've found, every success, every failure. I want you to consider as much as possible the entirety of 2019. Okay? I want you to consider all those things. Now, if you're ready to discover what God has for you, if you're ready to walk in these promises, if you're ready to move from a place of rest rather than a place from exhaustion, if you're ready to discover who God is in 2020, what he has for you, how he's going to make things new, what he's going to call you to do, if you're ready to say, I'm ready for things to be different, if you're ready to say, I can't stay here anymore, I want to move forward in the promise and the character of God, this is what I want you to do. I want you to say, I am ready. I want you to say it again. I am ready.
I am ready.
Say it one more time. I am ready.
I am ready.
Here's the thing about what you just did. It takes an exhale to make a declaration. You have to breathe out to declare. There is power in the exhale. Rest is a spiritual discipline. And we can discover incredible things about God when we rest. And we can be restored and we can be renewed so that when we go into life with everything that life throws at us, we go into it from a place of rest, not a place of exhaustion. And we're ready. You've declared that you are ready to discover what God has for you in this next season. Would you stand with me?